The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
Porrick Horkin, he of the Horkin Garden Centre family, joins me on the line. Porrick, good morning.
A very good morning to you, Pat.
Now, your headline this week is "Let's not leave it all to the farmers." You think that in the garden, you and me and everybody else can actually do our bit for climate change. Explain.
Well, if you think, Pat, we've got 5 million people within Ireland. We've got over 2 million homes, and each of those have some sort of garden or balcony. And the planting of plants, there is no better thing to do in the garden than to plant some plants. So if you take a simple tree, something like a native Irish oak, oaks can live generally between 300 and 600 years, but often they go right up to 1,000 years. An oak tree will absorb at least a ton of carbon. It releases oxygen and it gives a fantastic biodiversity for over 284 different types of insects and 324 different types of lichens or mosses live on a standard oak tree. So by planting trees in our countryside, get the farmers involved, get the greenways planted, get our communities planted. I think mobilising the 5 million people to simply plant a tree every year will give us 5 million trees every year from now on, Pat. It's that simple.
And the issue would be if you don't get credit for it, though, because we live in a relatively unpopulated island, if you think about it. We don't have the density of population they have in the Netherlands or in Britain and so on. Lots of people have gardens and do grow trees. And yet we probably don't get credit from the world for all the carbon we sequester just because we have the ability to have back gardens that others don't.
Absolutely. But having said that, Pat, we still in Ireland have very little land space covered by trees. I mean, it's only a couple of percentile of the total landmass available that are planted in broadleaf trees in particular. I mean, compare a couple of hundred years ago, the country was covered in oak trees and native Irish trees. And unfortunately, our landscape has been denuded of trees. Yet we've got lots of community spaces, greenways that could be planted with both edible trees, those that would provide fruit and berries, but also broadleaf native Irish trees. So there's a huge opportunity within Ireland to start planting our landscape. And I think genuinely, people are looking for a flag to get behind. They're looking for, you know, when you think of climate change, it tends to be the words reduce, stop, eliminate, decrease, rather than being a little bit more positive and getting people to increase the planting and getting the community out there to start covering our landscape.
And also, if you start growing your carrots and your lettuces and so on, you know, you're helping, because particularly in the when a lot of the stuff is imported, if you grow your own tomatoes and so on in Ireland in the summer, grow your own carrots in the autumn and winter, your own beetroots and so on, and potatoes, you eliminate the carbon miles that come with imports. So
I mean, Pat, it's ridiculous. We're bringing apples from New Zealand, we're bringing blueberries in from Morocco, and yet in Ireland we've got a fantastic climate. Look what Keelings do in North County Dublin, the amount of fruit that they produce in Ireland. We need to support Irish growers of fruit, but we need to start planting more fruit and vegetables. And we've got at least 8 months of a growing season for fruiting plants within their garden and vegetables and herbs. So there's no excuse.
Porrick, things that you don't want to grow. The first question, can you advise how to get rid of bindweed? I'm told Roundup gel works, but it doesn't seem to be available.
No, it's not available in Ireland at the moment. And so bindweed is a weed called convolvulus. It's a perennial weed. It's herbaceous in that it disappears in the winter and re-emerges in the spring. And unfortunately, it tends to spread itself and climbs itself like ivy up through hedging plants. Where it's actually mixed in between shrubs and hedging plants, there is no weed killer you can use safely that won't destroy the plant it's climbing on. So the only alternative is to literally hoe it at ground level at this time of year, right at soil level, and persist with that. Maybe put down some weed block material to help to suppress the new shoots of bindweed. If it's grown without mixing in through plants, if it's free growing on grassland area or a wild space within the garden, then you can use a proprietary weed killer like Weed Free, which will control it at this time of year. But where it's growing up through plants, unfortunately, there's no treatment for it apart from hoeing it out, Pat.
Now, we planted a bamboo, don't know which variety, 17 years ago. We put slates down into the hole before planting. This is presumably to try and stop it spreading.
Yeah.
But it has spread about 10 feet into the lawn onto the surface. It's also starting to spread under the patio and is lifting the paving slabs. What can we do? Does it need to come out altogether? The house is close, about 20 feet away. Could it get into the foundations of the house?
In modern homes, Pat, so with bamboos, you've got two different varieties, or two different types. You've got the creeping bamboos, which spread by underground stems, which this listener has. And after 17 years, it has spread 10 feet. And you've got the clump forming bamboos. Bamboos like Fergizii, which is a more well-behaved bamboo and more suitable for smaller gardens. So look for those, the clump-forming bamboos. My advice is to take this particular plant out. It won't necessarily damage the foundations, particularly modern foundations, but it will lift tarmacadam, it will lift paving slabs, and it will start to sprout right throughout the lawn. So my advice is to get it out.
Now, can you kill it with some chemical and let it just die back, or do you have to dig it out?
It's better to dig it out, Pat, and remove the roots in that way. Generally, where it's on a lawn, regular mowing of the lawn will exhaust it anyway. But in terms of where it's spreading in the main clump, it's better to dig that out.
My lovely wildflower seeds blossomed this summer and look great. Do they come back next year, or do I need to plant brand new set of seeds for next year?
It depends on the mix that the listener used. You've got annual wildflowers, so varieties that just flower for the 1 year, and like cornflower, and it sets its seeds in the autumn and re-emerges again. The seeds germinate and come back up next year again. And of course, you've got perennial wildflowers like the oxeye daisy, which come back year after year. So it depends on the mixture that the listener use. Generally speaking, when you buy wildflower seed in your local garden centre, it tends to be a blend of both annual and perennial forms. So my advice is to enjoy it at the moment. Later on in late September or early October, cut back the stems, the withering stems, and remove those to the compost heap. It's important that you take off any of the dying foliage back onto the compost heap. And a good tip is to plant that area with spring flowering bulbs. So as we come into late August, September, the bulbs like daffodils, snowdrops, crocuses will all become available, and you'll have a beautiful show of colour from February right through until September of the following year.
Can you recommend an evergreen climber with a flower on a shady wall? I tried climbing hydrangeas, but they're not taking. What I have is stony graveled ground on granite rock, so the soil is poor.
Well, I think that's the first place to start with. I mean, no climbing plant that you put in is going to thrive in those sort of situations. So either dig out some of the stone, now it is granite, or else put in a raised planter. Create a large planting box, as it were, from stone or timber to necessitate the roots. Because if there isn't enough root run, no climbing plant is going to survive. Climbers that tend to thrive in shade, I think a mix here. I have a north-facing wall, Pat, and I've got some beautiful ivies, a variety called Gold Child. But I also grow clematis, a flowering clematis, which actually flowers in the winter. It's one called Winter Beauty. It's 100% evergreen, very vigorous, beautiful white nodding flowers from Christmas onwards. And it's a lovely plant and very, very easy to grow. But get the soil conditions right first. You can't expect the climber to thrive in very poor soil.
Please ask Porrick why my hydrangea has not bloomed this year. I just have a load of half-opened florets. I'm wondering if I should move it to my sunnier front garden. It didn't do any better last year, but it actually was beautiful in the summer of 2020.
Okay, well, I mean, hydrangeas, first of all, this is the wrong time to be moving them. They're actively growing and they're coming into flower at the moment, so leave well enough alone. The time to transplant the hydrangea is any time from November right through to March, so wait for it to drop its foliage. The fact that it's not flowering can be a couple of reasons. Pruning at the wrong time of year, or too heavily pruning the plant, but also in the springtime, if we get late frosts in springtime, the buds, the flower buds, can actually be damaged on hydrangeas. And again, we're seeing a good bit of that this year with some of the late frosts in the springtime. So frost damage can certainly affect the flowering of the plant. But my advice really is to leave it to November and transplant it at that time of year.
A few quick ones. Kevin, will my lavender plant come back next year?
Yes, lavender is a perennial. Just cut it back, Kevin, at the end of the year, cut it back by half, and it'll come back next year again. It does need a free-draining soil and a sunny location.
What should I feed my angel wings? Will tomato feed do?
Yeah, angel wings doesn't need a huge amount of feeding. It's called angel wings because it produces these beautiful silver leaves in the shape of a wing or of a heart shape, and it doesn't require a lot of feeding. But a little bit of tomato food is perfectly fine. A really simple plant to grow.
Looking to create a herb patch in my garden, is it too late at this time of the year?
No, it is never too late for planting. And soil conditions at the moment, Pat, with that recent drop of rain, are absolutely perfect. So plant. My advice with herbs is always to make a list of herbs that you're going to use on a regular basis in your home, because herbs need regular pruning back. Most of them are perennial. So stick to the common things like parsley and thyme and sage and rosemary and oregano, all of those that you use on a regular basis. But they're so easy to grow, and July is a super time to plant them.
There's a comment about planting of trees. Don't plant an oak tree or anything that has the potential to grow to a massive size. Be warned, there can be consequences.
There can. I look at a lovely tree, and one that I'm admiring at the moment outside my own window is a roan tree, which is native Irish tree, Sorbus acuparia. It's full of berries at the moment, Pat, and the thrushes and the blackbirds are visiting it every day and hoovering up the berries at the moment. So there's a lovely, small, compact tree. So pick the tree to suit the location.
Looking to create a wild garden section instead of cutting my entire lawn, any suggestion of seeds that would attract the bees?
Well, again, when you're looking to bring bees into the garden, the bee is looking for single flowers, so flowers that produce lots of pollen and lots of nectar. And again, in your local garden centre this time of year, you'll actually get a selection of wildflowers specifically for the bees. So look for that. It's a collection of maybe 50 different varieties of seed that be mixed together to attract the bees in. And again, July and August is a really good time to sow the seed of wildflowers. So it's a perfect time of year for starting a wildflower area.
Pádraig Corcoran, thank you very much for joining us, Edge.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.